Welcome to The Bonfire. I am your host, Morgan, aka Bond Diesel, and this is a podcast about video game news, reviews, rumors, and speculation. This week, I'll be covering Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer is incoming, a big Phil Spencer interview, Baldur's Gate 3's big patch, and much more. A few things before we get started. On YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, and comment down below. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review on Spotify or iTunes. A special thank you to all of the patrons and YouTube members, including Hassan, YouTubes, Neuronix, PK, Cage Nephilim, and Horseman. If you're interested in supporting this podcast for as little as $1 per month, please check out patreon.com/bonddiesel or become a member over on YouTube. Gaming news, let's get into it. So let's start off with, I'm going to go through and do all of my picks for the Game Awards that are coming up this coming Thursday. I will be streaming it, so be sure to stop by, hang out. Let's see what cool reveals we get. There's been some rumors about that, which we'll get to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list the category, the nominees, and then the pick I think is going to win and the pick that I prefer. So let's start off with Best Multiplayer. The nominees are Baldur's Gate 3, Diablo 4, Party Animals, Street Fighter 6, and Super Mario Bros. Wonder. This is a funny one because I don't really consider Baldur's Gate 3 or Diablo 4 or Super Mario Bros. Wonder multiplayer games. They're games that have multiplayer. And so my personal pick, I guess, would be Street Fighter 6 because it's, you know, I know it was really well received, and it's the only game that, like, requires interaction with other players, I guess. Party Animals, I've heard really good things about, too. My personal pick here, I guess, would just be Street Fighter VI. The big standout to me is Baldur's Gate 3. I know that Larian, the studio, made a big deal out of multiplayer and playing with your friends and doing co-op and stuff, but there's nothing about that game that would make me want to play it with other people. It's such a personal story, and it's so wrapped around your player that if you have multiple people in your party who are actual people, it just seems weird to me. But obviously, there's enough people who disagree that they cater to that audience, which is cool. Best Sports and Racing, we have EA Sports FC24, F1 23, Forza Motorsport, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged, and The Crew Motorfest. Just as a heads up, the EA Sports FC24 is the new name for FIFA after EA decided not to pay, I think it was like $2 billion for that license. My pick here is Forza Motorsport. It was just such a fantastic game, an absolute hardware showcase for Xbox. And a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the progression system and just the way that game felt. If I had to pick the winner that I think is actually going to win, I'm going to guess EA Sports FC24 with a chance for Forza. But I think it's going to be EA Sports FC24. A very easy name to say. Best Sim or Strategy. We have Advance Wars 1 Plus 2, Reboot Camp, Cities Skylines 2, Company of Heroes 3, Fire Emblem Engage, and Pikmin 4. My personal pick here is the only game I've played in this list is going to be Company of Heroes 3. It disappointed a little bit. I have actually been dabbling again in it lately. Company of Heroes is like, it's a fun game. I love real-time strategy. I love the style that this game is where it's very tactical. You have to move your units into cover, and you can flank and use special abilities and gain veterancy in your units, which makes them more powerful and stuff. It's really, really cool. The game I think is actually going to win, if I'm thinking about this from who's voting, which is mostly game journalists, I'm actually going to give it to Pikmin 4. I think this there's a lot of journalists who thought Pikmin 4 was like their game of the year. And I think this is where we're going to see that game kind of get its flowers, as the kids say. So I'm going to say Pikmin 4 is the most likely winner for Best Sim or Strategy. Best Family Game, it's Disney Illusion Island, Party Animals, Pikmin 4, Sonic Superstars, or Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I have not played a single one of these games, so I'm not going to make a pick. The one I think is going to win is Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I think the other categories that Wonder is nominated in, it is very unlikely to win. So I think this is going to be one of those ones where the voters kind of give Wonder its light in the sun here. It's star its award by winning this category of Best Family. Next we have Best Fighting Game. We have God of Rock, Mortal Kombat 1, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2, Pocket Bravery, and Street Fighter 6. From what I've seen, which I've not played any of these games extensively, I would probably vote for Mortal Kombat 1. I really like what they were doing with that game, the fidelity, the graphics, all of that. I'm not a big fighting game fan, so I'm mostly going off of the visuals. I think Street Fighter 6 is going to win. Again, Street Fighter 6 was a favorite for a lot of people, and in a different year may have been a competitor for Game of the Year. Even though fighting games are very niche and they drop out of the spotlight extremely quickly, even when they're really, really good, I bet that Street Fighter 6 will actually win this category. Best RPG. We have Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Lies of P, Sea of Stars, and Starfield. My pick here is, the best RPG is Baldur's Gate 3, and I don't think it's even close. I want to say Starfield because this is one of the only places I can vote for it, and I really loved it. And I don't think that Lies of P or Final Fantasy 16 are RPGs. Those are action games with upgradable things, stats and stuff. But I don't really think that they are RPGs in the same way as Baldur's Gate 3 and kind of Starfield and Sea of Stars. Sea of Stars is going to win this for a lot of people. All five of these games are really good. But I think the best RPG, if you're being serious about it, is Baldur's Gate 3. And I think that's who's going to win this as well. Best Action Adventure. Alan Wake 2, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. My pick here is simple. It's Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and it's not even close. I did play Resident Evil 4. I'm currently finishing Alan Wake 2. I didn't play Tears or Spider-Man 2, but it's not even close to me. Star Wars Jedi Survivor it's so fun to play. The combat, but especially the movement. It is maybe my favorite platformer ever, and that sounds weird because that's not really what that game is known for, but it should be, at least in my opinion, and it's so good. Love it. The game I think is actually going to win. I think it's going to be Spider-Man 2 because I don't think it's going to win like Game of the Year or direction or anything. I think this is going to be one of those spots where people feel like, this seems like one that game, can take home. The next category is Best Action Game. We have Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, Dead Island 2, Ghost Runner 2, Hi-Fi Rush, and Remnant 2. Admittedly, the only game I've played on this list is Hi-Fi Rush. And even from what I've seen about all of these games, Hi-Fi Rush, I think even if I played all of them, would still be my pick. A very unique game. It feels so good to play. It's so fun and it's fast paced and the beat, the rhythm based combat and everything else around it. That's still really approachable for people like me who have very little rhythm. Hi-Fi Rush, easy for me. I think the winner of this, though, is going to be Armored Core 6. This is a game that, again, like many of these other games, in another year probably would have been a Game of the Year candidate and would probably win. But this year just isn't going to do it. This is a really good category for this game to be in, and I think it's going to take home the win for Best Action Game. Best VR or AR, Augmented Reality. I'm just going to skip it because I know nothing about anything with that. Best mobile game. I'm going to do the same thing. Don't have a clue. Best debut indie game. We have Cocoon, Dredge, Pizza Tower, Venba, and Viewfinder. I've played Cocoon, and I've checked out all of these other ones. These are all excellent games, so good. If we're going specifically to debut indie, I'm gonna have to go with, I'm gonna say Venba. From what I've heard about all of these and even my own experiences to a point, that's the one that I think stands out the most here, even though they are all excellent, even though I think Viewfinder kind of underwhelmed a lot of people. Best independent game: Cocoon, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Sea of Stars, or Viewfinder. Now, my best independent game is Planet of Lana. It didn't make the list. It's fine. I understand why, especially because while we had such an amazing AAA lineup this year, the indie lineup was really, really good. And again, in another year, I think at least one or two of these would have made the Game of the Year nominations and potentially won. It just wasn't in it this year. And then there's the controversy about Dave the Diver being an independent game in the first place. It really isn't. It's made by a developer that's owned by a gigantic publisher. And so it's a little disingenuous. There's been a big argument about whether the studio is actually independent or if it's a style or a type of game. I think it's whether the studio is actually independent, though what that technically means is that a game like Dave the Diver shouldn't be on here, but a game like Baldur's Gate 3 should be, or could be, and would easily win this. So it's one of those things. For me, the game, from what everything I've told, that should probably win this is, I think, Sea of Stars. The game I think is actually going to win is probably Sea of Stars. That's what I'm going to go with. Best community support, another interesting category. We have Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, and No Man's Sky. So this is an interesting one because, well, Destiny 2 being on here is interesting. It probably does deserve to be here, I guess, even though a lot of people who actually play that game seem pretty unsatisfied with it. One, because they just laid off a bunch of their community development staff. And two, because this year was kind of lackluster for the game. Cyberpunk being on here is kind of weird as well, because their community support was basically just fixing their game for the last 3 years. And they have done communication pretty well, but they've also kind of doubled down on some, like, I would call them lies, maybe you would call them something else, about the state of the game at release. And I just don't know if community support, I think it's an interesting one, but I guess it fits. I honestly think No Man's Sky should just win this every year, except this year. I think Baldur's Gate 3, for my pick, is the winner here. Their communication and the speed of their updates has just been insane. The way they celebrate their community, they post people's, like, cosplays and art and stuff like that on top of the candid way that they communicate. It's Baldur's Gate 3. It's not even close. And I think that's who, actually, I think Cyberpunk's going to win this, and I don't think they should. But I think that's who is actually going to win it. Best ongoing game is Apex Legends, Cyberpunk 2077, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. The game I think should win this, and it, kind of like what I said before, how No Man's Sky should always win community, I think best ongoing should always be Fortnite, and that's my pick, because it's just what they do is insane with that game, with its ongoing support. I think what's gonna win it is if the community isn't Cyberpunk, I think this one will be. And I hate that Cyberpunk's even on here. Again, it's kind of that same thing where this ongoing support that they've done for Cyberpunk is them just finishing the game. Like, that's, they have done, and I don't want to discount, you know, the devs have worked really hard, obviously, to do what they've done with Cyberpunk. But they didn't support it. They finished it. And you know, Cyberpunk 2.0, the 2.0 patch, and the upcoming 2.1 patch is just them finishing the game and getting it to a point where it should have been at launch, or they should have waited. You know, they should have kept working on it before they launched it. And then ongoing is hilarious because we know that this Phantom Liberty patch, or DLC is the only ongoing support it's going to get. It's still going to get patches, as we've heard with this 2.1 patch, that's going to have some updates to it that are significant. But let's not kid ourselves. They shouldn't get an ongoing award for just finishing their game. And in my opinion, even its finished product not really living up to what it should have been and what they said it was going to be. Cyberpunk should have been even more than it is today, and it's not. And because it came out in awful condition, and they have made it a fair bit better, it's getting all of these flowers and attention and all of this good, all these good vibes. I'm willing to bet that in the last couple of years, they've spent more money on PR and marketing than they have developing the game. And I bet they've spent a lot developing the game and finishing it. But I really hate that this is on here. So my pick is Fortnite. I think what's actually going to win this is probably Cyberpunk. And I don't like that. Games for Impact is A Space for the Unbound, Chance of Sennar, Goodbye Volcano High, Chia, Terra Nil, and Venba. From what I've heard with people talking about these games, my vote would be for Venba. And I think that there's a really good chance that's what's actually going to win it. So, without trying to get too much into it, I don't know enough about those to talk a lot about them. But that's the one that I'm kind of getting the vibes for who's going to win. The next category is Innovation and Accessibility. We have Diablo 4, Forza Motorsport, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Mortal Kombat 1, and Street Fighter 6. So I'm going to probably just give this one to Spider-Man 2 for my pick and who I think is going to win it in general. Sony has really taken a big lead. The Last of Us 2 was probably the best example of how they've taken these games and done a lot to make them really accessible for people who have vision issues or mobility issues, like fine motor skills or being able to use a normal controller at all. And it seems like from kind of the vibes I've been getting is that's the one that probably deserves it the most. And that's who I think is going to win for the voters as well. We have Best Performance. We have Ben Starr from Final Fantasy 16, Cameron Minahan from Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Idris Elba from the Phantom Liberty DLC for Cyberpunk 2077, Melanie LeBird from Alan Wake 2, Neil Newbon from Baldur's Gate 3, and Yuri Lowenthal from Marvel's Spider-Man 2. So my pick here is probably Neil Newbon of Baldur's Gate 3. He's Asterion. I actually don't like that character. I think he's awful and irredeemable. But his dedication and that whole cast, that whole voice cast has done some D&D, some live D&D where they play as their own characters. And he just has so much charisma. It's insane. I like all of these voice actors. I think Melanie LeBird as Saga from Alan Wake 2 is extremely good. Cameron Moynihan from Star Wars Jedi Survivor playing the lead character is Cal is extremely good. I really enjoyed his performance. But for me, Neil Newbon gets this. Ben Starr is going to win this in the voting, though. Ben Starr, if you don't know who he is, he was the lead voice actor in Final Fantasy 16, and he's been making all the rounds. He's been on all the podcasts. He's been in the content with a majority of the people who are voting. And so he's going to win this, and it's not even going to be close. And he deserves it. I mean, it does seem like he did a really, really good job. We have Best Audio Design, Alan Wake 2, Dead Space, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, and Resident Evil 4. This one is Dead Space for me. It's not even close. The way that they use sound to make that game scary, but also to inform gameplay, just so good. Masterful. This is not soundtrack, so if it was, Hi-Fi Rush would probably win. I think Alan Wake 2 might actually take this for audio design. It's got the recency bias, and I think it just fits the category the best, and it's the one that I think that it will get the voters' approval. Then we have Best Score in Music. We have Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Hi-Fi Rush, and The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. For me, this is a very, very easy Baldur's Gate 3. The soundtrack of that game is wild. It is so good. there's boss songs that just blow your mind. There's individual songs in this soundtrack that should win this category on their own, but then the combination, and then even like the Down by the River song that plays when you're in menus and stuff itself is just so good. Just all of the music in this game is wildly good, and it's so funny. You'll be playing, you'll be in some intense moment, and then you'll catch the music, and even in some intense moment where you're stressed out, you just kind of smile and just like, damn, this is great music. I will put Alan Wake 2 right behind it, even though for me it's mostly the in-between chapters music that I really appreciate, so it doesn't quite take the win. Final Fantasy 16 will win this in the actual game awards. I get it. I've heard the music. I've listened to the soundtrack. It is wonderful. I still think Baldur's Gate 3 is just more fun and just more creative. And but the actual voters of the game awards are going to pick Final Fantasy 16 here. I have zero doubt. Then we have Best Art Direction, where we have Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Lies of P, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I think Tears of the Kingdom is ugly. Super Mario Brothers Wonder is a really cool looking 2D Mario game, but that's all it is. Lies of P has some really good designs and some really unique things. I don't think it's that great though. Alan Wake 2 is a very beautiful game. It definitely has its moments, but Hi-Fi Rush is best art direction here. The way that they use like the cell shaded 2D 3D combination, for me, that's my easy pick. I think Super Mario Brothers Wonder will actually win this with the voters though. Best narrative: Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, The Phantom Liberty DLC for Cyberpunk 2077, Final Fantasy 16, and Marvel's Spider-Man 2. The two that seem kind of weird here is Marvel's Spider-Man 2, because the story and narrative is the main weakness I've heard pretty consistently from all of the reviews, even people who gave it like 9.5 or 10 out of 10s, all kind of seem to agree that the narrative was not great, if just fine. I think it's kind of interesting. I don't get that one. And then the Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty, like, I know it's a pretty substantial DLC, but I just don't think a DLC really belongs in this conversation. There were lots of other games with extremely good stories that were full, complete games and not a, you know, cut down DLC, after 3 years of finishing a game. I have a very obvious bias. If you're listening to this, you can tell I'm really against Cyberpunk being on most of these categories. But I just don't think this game fits. I think it's the odd man out. Even though I've heard the story is wonderful in Phantom Liberty. My pick for best narrative is Baldur's Gate 3. I think that Alan Wake 2 will actually win this, though I could easily see Phantom Liberty actually getting this award. We can't vote for it in any of the higher awards, so we're going to give it this one. Then we have Best Game Direction, which is kind of like the second place award. We have Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. For Game Direction, this is one where, in my opinion, it should be Alan Wake 2. Just the creativity and the way they did the direction and design of this game. It's so unique and it's so fun and it's just so good. So Alan Wake 2 for my pick, and I think that's who actually wins this from the voters as well. And then finally, we have Game of the Year. We have Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. My pick here is Baldur's Gate 3. It's kind of not close, especially with recent updates and stuff like that. This game is just insane. It's replayable. The story is amazing. The gameplay is a lot of fun. I don't like turn-based combat games, and this game got me to enjoy it, even though I still don't care about it in other games. The characters, the writing, the music, the visuals, just everything. Baldur's Gate 3 is just such a standout game. for who I think is actually going to win this, it's interesting. I think Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder will catch a few votes, but I think the majority of votes are going to go to Tears, Baldur's Gate 3, and Alan Wake 2. And I think what's going to be interesting is I think the recency bias on Alan Wake 2, and I think the somewhat recency, but also just the kind of surprising hype about Baldur's Gate 3 is going to split the vote enough. It wouldn't surprise me if The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom wins. It was an early favorite. It's tough for me because I know that it improved a lot from Breath of the Wild, but it still just kind of seems like a really, really big and a really, really good DLC of Breath of the Wild, mostly because the hardware of the Switch just couldn't really allow them to take it that big of a step forward in a lot of ways that matter to a lot of people. I think that what will win this in the voters, I think Baldur's Gate 3 is the favorite, but Alan Wake 2 is kind of a dark horse candidate, and I think Tears is kind of the one that everyone assumed would win until really recently and could still sneak in there. But my pick for both myself and for who I think the voters are actually going to go for is I think Baldur's Gate 3 is the most likely for both. So there's my opinions. If you want to look at those lists and let me know in one of the ways, you can contact me either on Twitter, YouTube comments, wherever. You can jump in my Discord as well and tell me what you think will win those things, or if you agree or disagree with my own picks. Now, getting to some other news, we have PlayStation news as kind of a follow-up. I did not do an episode last week, so I am going to be doing some news that may feel a little old. We got more The Last of Us 2 remaster details. We know that it's going to involve or include a survival mode of sorts. It's kind of like a how long you can last thing. And some unfinished levels, which is really interesting to me because I thought it was levels that they didn't finish when the game came out, but they finished them since. But nope, that you're just going to jump into levels that still aren't finished, and they're going to have director commentary, I assume from Druckmann, talking about what they were going to do with these cut levels. So that's going to be interesting, but making that DLC content, even if it's a relatively reasonable price, is weird and seems like they were just trying to justify what should be a free graphics patch with a mode and some unfinished content. That's just me. It is only a $10 upgrade if you have the PS4 version of The Last of Us 2 already to get the PS5 quote-unquote remaster. It's really just a graphics patch. That was probably extremely simple to do, but I digress. And then in a recent interview, Druckmann said that he has no updates on The Last of Us 3 or their multiplayer project. At one point, it was known as The Last of Us 2 Factions 2 or whatever, but then it was supposedly going to be more than that, and then now it sounds like they might be scaling it down, so we don't know. And his Last of Us 3 comment seemed kind of assumed. They haven't announced that's what they're working on, and he actually specified that they're working on other games than those two. Without really confirming 3. I mean, I think The Last of Us 3 happens. I think that's obvious. But I think that it may not be their next big project, even counting the multiplayer Last of Us game. So we'll have to wait and see. Under PlayStation, we have Destiny 2, which has been through it lately, including recently when they introduced a $15 starter pack for new players, which basically had a bunch of items that were useless to new players, and that by the time they were useful, you could just farm them using the game normally in about an hour, or supposedly that's what was reported. They have taken this down and kind of apologized, but the thing I talk about a lot when you see these things happen where companies put out monetization and then they take it down after everyone complains, that was them testing the water. That was them seeing like, hey, can we get away with this? And then they couldn't. So they took it down like, oh, that's, we didn't read the room. They were reading the room by your reaction to what they put out. And for a game and a studio that isn't in the best place, it seems like this isn't what you want to see, at least in my opinion. You especially don't want to see them also delaying their next big DLC, The Final Shape, to June of 2024. It was relatively recently delayed, I think to February, and now it's getting pushed back to next summer. What's really interesting is that in their press release on this, they said something to the effect of, you know, we want to be able to really fulfill and expand our scope of this patch and give the fans what they deserve. Here's the thing. If they're delaying like that, it's almost certain they're actually cutting back the scope, in my opinion, because, you know, whether it's because of layoffs or other issues or, you know, that they're working on multiple games now. I would say that if they had to delay that bad, it's probably going to also come with at least small reductions in the amount of content in the scope of that project. I could be wrong. I have no idea. That's just my speculation. But I don't think they would do that big of a delay and be adding stuff. At this point, they probably want to get that out and move on, but they're not going to say that. With Xbox news, the only big stuff with that this week is that they have confirmed in some capacity that they will have a big announcement at the Game Awards next week or this coming week. I'm expecting to see things that we've seen before. We are expecting Senua's Saga to probably come out in the next 6 months or so. And we should have some other games from them. But supposedly, there's rumors that there's going to be at least one or two unexpected, or at least from fans, unexpected announcements that could be really big. But we're going to have to wait to see what that means. Phil Spencer did an interview with Windows Central this week where the gist of that was that there are no plans to put Game Pass on the Switch or PlayStation. That was a rumor that's been going around lately. And it may be like technically a goal, but one that they just have on a whiteboard that they aren't actually going to do. He talked about that they do want to revive a lot of old IP, including ones that are attached to Activision Blizzard, but made it very clear that any of that kind of stuff is just in the talking phase and is many, many years away from coming to fruition. But he did seem pretty positive that it's going to happen eventually, notably with Hexen, because he wore a Hexen shirt and he made it clear that he doesn't tease things for no reason ever. So you know, take that for what you will. And then he did say that the Game Pass family plan is still on the table and they're still looking at it. It got tested in a few markets, I think earlier this year, and people really liked it because it got you like 5 spots of Game Pass for a lot cheaper than you can get it on its own. So we'll see. I suspect we won't see that until they maybe put out some of the mid-gen refreshes of the consoles. My hot take is I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year we see them discount the Xbox quite a bit to try to get into more homes. They've probably gotten to a production scale where the cost of these systems has probably gotten lower. And I bet that we see them try to undercut the PlayStation 5, especially if the PlayStation 5 puts out a pro, more powerful version of their console. And rumors are that Xbox isn't going to do that this gen. And so instead of having a more powerful console, they may just undercut the price of the hardware they do have to try to get those people on who maybe don't care about that 5 or 10% boost that the PS5 Pro will give you and would rather get a Series X for $300 maybe $350 or $4. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what they do. And then the final thing is that in the last 2 weeks, Starfield did get an update that added actual official DLSS to the game. I did test it out. It looks wonderful. I can run 60 FPS, 4K, you know, all the bells and whistles on my 4070 Ti, and it's a very pretty game in a lot of ways, and I'm really getting a hankering to do a second playthrough of that, but we're not quite there yet. I'm probably going to do that next year. And then for my one bit of Nintendo news, F-Zero 99, which is their Battle Royale F-Zero game, is going to get a classic race mode where you can have a more typical F-Zero experience that you would expect from that game. To hit a bunch of kind of small or medium-sized stories, just kidding, for some non-main platform stories though, Grand Theft Auto 6 and Rockstar have announced that they have a trailer coming on December 5th. That's 2 days before the Game Awards. That is on this coming Tuesday. So it's probably happening when you're listening to this. I'm lukewarm on this to a point. I love the Red Dead Redemption series, and I've played all of the Grand Theft Autos up to 5. I owned 5. I played it, I think, a couple hours. I don't care about the online. I've always enjoyed the stories, and I hated every character in 5. And I know you're kind of supposed to, but I hated them in a way that I didn't want to play the game. And I didn't, and I still haven't to this day. I've thought about trying to get into it. Maybe if they announce a release date, which I think will be in 2024, maybe I'll finally knock it out just to get my fix again. But if it's true that it's going back to like Vice City, I think the Miami copy. Vice City is one of my favorite ones ever, to go to like a modern version of that, because the Vice City took place I think in the 80s. It would be interesting to go back to that city, and I could really get into it, especially if some of the stuff that came from those leaks a couple years back come to fruition in a finalized way. For early game footage, that game looked really good. Let's see here. Baldur's Gate 3 got their 5th major patch, and it was like 35 gigs. It added like almost 4,000 voice lines. It added an epilogue to the ending, which is one of the major complaints people had. It fixed a bunch of stuff. It added a bunch of stuff. There's romances that are available in certain situations now that weren't before. There's cinematics that weren't there before. It's a meaty patch, and it's again why that ongoing or just that community award from the Game Awards. It's hard for me not to see Baldur's Gate 3 be the winner of that, because the fan service that Larian has done, both during early access and since release, is just crazy. The KOTOR remake is still being worked on, according to Jason Schreier, who said he spoke to a Saber, I think multiple Saber developers, who said they are actively working on that remake. That was after Jeff Grubb had previously stated that that game was dead in the water and wasn't being worked on by anyone. He then recanted it after Schreier's story came out and said that he kind of backpedaled and said like, well, the PlayStation doesn't want to have anything to do with it. It needs a big publisher like that to be involved, which is probably true. But it was kind of funny that after, for a Mass Effect fan base, after, he doubled down so hard on his information about that game, to see him kind of get, maybe dunked on is the right word by Schreier, was interesting. With that Mass Effect release date potentially being out to 2029 or 2030, when that story was getting hot, I was hoping so much for Schreier to chime in, because whether you like Schreier or not, and I'm mixed sometimes, he's pretty good. He's pretty darn good. Ubisoft confirms the existence of Beyond Good and Evil's remaster. I believe it's a 20-year anniversary after accidentally releasing an early test build of the remake on their game browser, Ubisoft Connect. This was such a funny story. I like Ubisoft. I like a lot of their games. It's not a lot of shade to them, but man, they are just the bumbling Mr. Magoos of the major publishers. This stuff is so weird. Like, I don't know how this stuff happens, but it does. So, whoever got to play that early build, you should send them some beta tester notes, even though it's probably not even in beta. It's probably a pre-alpha build. So, very interesting. Good job, Ubi. A new Infinity Ward studio is being opened up in Texas to work on. Drum roll. What game do you think that a new Infinity Ward studio is going to work on? Yes, it is Call of Duty. I'm curious to what happens to all of those Infinity Ward studios and all of the Activision studios once Xbox truly kind of takes over the reins, as they probably are working on right now. They have so many studios working on Call of Duty. And when their big main releases come out, they typically seem like it was worth that effort. But then you have a game like, Modern Warfare 3, which is rumored to have been a DLC that got turned into a full game that people definitely don't feel like is a full game. I'm curious to what happens there. Activision has a lot of really cool franchises that have been dormant. It would be really cool to see some of these devs get to work on things other than Call of Duty. But at the same time, a big part of the reason Xbox bought Activision Blizzard King is to get that Call of Duty money. So I'll be curious to how they handle it. I really hope they go to more of a like every other year or even every 2 years thing with Call of Duty and doing like DLC and expansion support in between. But we'll have to wait and see. There are rumors about the next major release in 2024, which is going to be a Black Ops game and may take place in the early 90s, I believe, in kind of the Gulf War times. That would be really interesting, and it's a time I'm very familiar with because of family who was in the military at that time, and it was just an interesting geopolitical time in the world. It'd be an interesting subject for a game, especially the kind of single-player stories we typically get from Call of Duty. Reed Pop is potentially trying to sell off their journalism, some of their websites. Game Industry Biz, Eurogamer, Rock Paper Shotgun, VG247, and Dicebreaker. I have no love lost for Eurogamer. I think they're hacks, but I really do like Game Industry Biz and VG247. I hate seeing this because what's probably going to happen is they're probably going to sell all these, and they're going to go to some venture capitalist fund, and they're going to suck them dry and then lay everybody off and shut down the brands. That's what we've been seeing with a lot of these acquisitions of the gaming journalism side of things. Like Gamers is another venture capitalist thing that has done this. And basically what happens is they take over. They try to do business as usual, but they get progressively worse. Everyone quits. They start their own Patreon and their own new channels, and then the original companies go away. I'm glad I'm not in game journalism as a full-time position right now, because it seems like a scary place to be. Ubisoft and others have stopped advertising on Twitter. This has been a pretty big thing ever since the new owner, Elon Musk, new as of more than a year ago now, has said a bunch of weird stuff, a lot of controversial stuff. And then this week, after all these advertisers pulled out during an interview, he basically encouraged all of these big companies to stop sponsoring, and that when Twitter or X shuts down, he's going to document everyone's fault that it was for not buying sponsorships on there. I've had theories for a long time that Elon wants Twitter to fail so he can dump it and get out and try to recover something from it. I've always hoped that maybe Twitter would get sold to someone who actually wants it and not someone who was legally forced to buy it for a big chunk of their net wealth and at a way inflated price. I don't know. Twitter's days are numbered, even though it does remain, even for me, the main social media landing spot. I don't know. I'm curious to what happens. I will be silently observing. So there's all the stories I have this week. Now we will move to listener questions. If you have your own questions, be sure to ask in my Discord, in the YouTube comments, or hit me up on Twitter at @BonDiesel. The questions we have this week are from Master Prime. The first one is, have you ever tried Mountain Dew? Well, my good man, I am an American, and we don't eat very healthy. At least most of us don't. And if you see my, squishy neck jawline here, you may know that I'm not one of those healthy folks. I used to drink, like in high school and college, and even my early adult life, more Mountain Dew than I would ever want to admit. Like way, way more. Luckily I've gotten away without my teeth getting all messed up and having kidney stones and all that, like some friends I know, but I don't drink it anymore. And it's because in 2020 in November, I got COVID that first year when everything was crazy, and I lost my sense of taste and smell for, it was like 8 or 9 months. And even as it slowly came back, even to this day, 3 years later, I still, there's a flavor in most sodas, at least here in the States, that I can't drink after my smell and taste has mostly returned in general. There's a few things that never came back, and there's something in pop that tastes awful to me. It's hard to describe. It's just really gross. I can drink like cream sodas and root beers and stuff like that. They taste fine. But for whatever reason, like Mountain Dew, Coke, Pepsi, Sierra Mist, any of Sprite, any of that stuff, can't drink it. It's awful. So you would think that I will have lost a bunch of weight, but here we are. At least I'm not drinking that. And then the second question is, what kind of side quests would you like to see in Mass Effect 4 and The Division 3? I've been having a lot of discussion about that because I've been jokingly talking about how I don't know which one of those games will come first. What I would like to see is just organic stuff that matters in the big picture, even if it's just in small ways. So like with The Division 2, you had these like secret missions you could discover by just exploring the world, and that was really cool. Now, you know, years later, those missions are on a checklist. You know, everyone knows that they're there, but there was this fun moment when the game first came out that you'd just be exploring and you would happen upon these missions, and that would be really, really cool. So stuff like that. I think things that actually matter and aren't just filler missions, as well as things that you can kind of naturally discover yourself, that feel organic, that would be great for both of those games. And then finally, would you like a Mass Effect multiplayer game? So there's people who swear by Mass Effect 3. So the Legendary Edition doesn't have the multiplayer, but the original Mass Effect 3 game did have multiplayer, and it still has a probably fairly niche, but it still has a community and people who play it every single day still. And it's a wave-based mode. Like if you ever played like Resistance in The Division 1, if you ever played, I think Gears of War has kind of the wave-based mode. It's that, but people swear by it. People seem to love it. So I could go for that. I would want it to be a separate project from the next Mass Effect game. But I think it would be good as like a cross-marketing thing to have some kind of free-to-play game or something on the side to give people that multiplayer feel. But I hope that the next Mass Effect game is a single-player experience with no co-op, no multiplayer. They just need to focus on making a really cool single-player experience. But I would love to have like a side multiplayer game. That'd be great. And that is the last question I have. So we are going to wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Let me know if you have any feedback or thoughts on the show. You can find me all over the internet as Bond Diesel. You can support my content by checking out patreon.com/Bond Diesel. You can join as a YouTube member over there. You can subscribe over at Twitch, especially use that free Twitch Prime sub on me. I would appreciate it. Or you can check out my merch in the Linktree link in the description below. That is all I have for this one. So until next time.